President Biden came into office vowing to build back better, but voters said little was getting built as Democrats fight over multi-trillion dollar measures to strengthen the country's social safety net and improve physical infrastructure. Normal life was not back and might never be, and voters said so many things just felt worse. It is not just the federal government they blame. Trash is piling up on city streets because of a dearth of garbage haulers. School bus services are being cancelled and delayed for want of drivers. Americans who have been hurt economically by the pandemic are still struggling to get rental assistance and unemployment benefit, sometimes months after applying. Our political system is almost completely a failure, said Carla Haney, a 65-year-old swimming instructor who has yet to receive about 14 weeks of unemployment benefit from the state of Florida that she applied for back in May of 2020. I don't see it getting better at all. With a global supply chain gummed up, voters around the Phoenix metro area said they were paying the price in lost money and wasted time. A restaurant chef in Phoenix, Arizona is once again struggling to buy paper plates and napkins. A plumbing supplier in Tempe, Arizona is losing commissions because he cannot fill orders. And at gas stations across the country, drivers cringe at paying an average of $3.40 a gallon, prices that have risen by more than $1 a gallon from a year ago. Everything goes up and pay pretty much stays the same, said Brandon Hendricks, a 39-year-old from Athens, Georgia, who works in security for an auto plant. Even with the unemployment rate at 4.6%, falling but still above its pandemic levels, Mr. Hendricks said job security is not his top concern. Instead, it is the rising of prices for gasoline, grocery store, rent, just because just about everything you can think of that worry him. Still, he blames much of the country's grim state on the pandemic, Republicans' obstruction, and relentless criticism of the Biden administration. They instigated too much division, Mr. Hendricks says of the Republicans. Basically, they've kind of boiled it down to politics and power play. They're not really solving issues, they're just keeping you divided so they can do whatever they want. Worries around trash piling up, flights cancelled because of staff shortages and rising grocery prices may be small compared with a global pandemic that has killed 5 million people, or a fast warming climate that has contributed to floods inundating towns and wildfires burning America's West. But they're stuck, like pebbles in a voter's shoes, tiny but impossible to ignore. Every day or so, my younger one will say, "Dad, there's no bus. Can you come and get me?" said John Radanovich, a 58-year-old, the father of an 8th grader and an 11th grader at Lake Worth, Florida, near West Palm Beach. Mr. Radanovich, a Democrat, says he believed the increasingly vocal dissatisfaction in the country, on vivid displays as Republicans won the governorship in Virginia, flipped a Democratic statehouse seat in San Antonio, and routed Democrats in New York suburbs, were likely to doom Democrats in 2022 midterm elections. There's so much hatred, Mr. Radanovich says, adding that he hoped to leave the country once his younger son finished high school. You can see it in the schools, the diet, our lifestyle, and the stress, how expensive things are. It's a mystery that life has become so much worse in the United States. It's just worse, worse, and worse.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website,
www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, issues, and other relevant questions parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. As usual, all of the information and answers provided in this program are based upon the Holy Book of the Quran and upon the narrations of the Prophet and, of course, of the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them all. Joining us in the studio is our dear friend and Islamic researcher, Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid. Sayyid, a child, when often they are born into this world, they can either come as a sibling, they can either come as the first child of the parents, and then sequentially become the bigger sibling, or they can be the youngest sibling, or they can be a girl who has a big brother, and so on. So many different family constellations that we have. And from our understanding, it is important to understand where the child stands in relevance to the other siblings of the family. Why is this important, dear Sayyid, for a parent to understand?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه. It is important because it is one of these things that affects the upbringing of a child and the personality of a child. So generally speaking, when we look at children, their sequence in terms of birth makes a big difference, whether he is the first child, the second child, or the last child, or whether he is a boy amongst girls or a girl amongst boys.
Right.
And the relationship between him and his siblings obviously would be different. And the way that the parents themselves will deal with him obviously would be different. So all these factors, they will play a big role on the psychology of the child himself as he grows older. Now, right. Most parents don't pay attention to that, but in fact, it plays a huge, huge role in the child's life. Now, for example, let's look at the older child, right?
Right. The first sibling.
The first sibling among
first
the siblings.
Born.
Firstborn.
Right.
Usually the first child, as we call him, the big boy or the big brother, right, or the big sister. Usually, as parents, we give too much responsibility to the first child. Like if he's among siblings, obviously, if he has two, three other siblings,
right.
So we ask him to act as the second father in the house. For example,
if he's a son
or a second mother, if he's a daughter,
a babysitter, if you may.
Well, in a way or another, obviously, one of his duties will be a babysitting.
Right.
Among his duties is to help his brother and sister whenever they need help. Help them with their homework, help them with their room, help them with things,
right.
Do things for them. So he's constantly acting as a grown-up, trying
right.
to meet the demands of his siblings. And on the second hand, he would have responsibilities when it comes to him as a child.
Dear Sayyid, I must unfortunately interrupt you because we will be going on a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing how important it is to understand the position of the child in a family unit. Dear Sayyid, please continue the discussion.
Okay, so we were saying that as a child, what happens is the fact that he gets given the responsibility of looking after his siblings.
Right.
At the same time, him as a child, he would act that role. And sometimes you see him enforcing himself on his siblings. Like, right. For example, like he takes their toys, he takes their things that they have. And obviously, if you talk to him, he would say, well, I am the oldest. I'm the older one, right? The older brother, for example.
I have authority.
Yeah, so you have to listen to me. So he abuses that power as well. So you're giving him power that he doesn't know what to do with, or he doesn't know how to use to begin with. Now, putting this child, this older child, in this position where you're giving him responsibility, him not knowing what to do with this responsibility, it causes a lot of issues between him and his siblings.
Right. Right?
And causes issues with him and his parents. First, if the parents put that child in this position where they always keep telling him that you're the older one, you need to look after your brothers, you need to do this, you need to do this. Now, you are depriving him of his own childhood. You're trying to make a grown-up out of him to right. take responsibility when the poor child...
is a child.
He's a child. He's like, right. I need to have...
I also want to play.
Exactly. Right. I want to play. I want to act like a child. I want to be protected. I don't want someone else to take care of me. Why should I take care of kids when I'm a kid myself? Right.
And they can't express that. That's the bad. They do not know how to express that, so they lash out.
Exactly. So him not knowing how to handle and how to deal with this, first will deprive him of his own childhood.
It's a tragic in itself.
Yeah. Now, him being deprived of his childhood, that's one. Him being deprived of his playtime, him being deprived of having his own independency, him being deprived of so many things will affect his psyche. When it comes to him dealing with his siblings, this will create a sense of hatred between them. Now, when he looks at his younger siblings, he looks at them from a power of authority. I can do whatever I want. I'm your older brother. You have to listen to me.
Right.
Right? Now, his younger brothers may not understand, even if he's correct. For example, he said, don't do this. Maybe he's right. But these two kids, these little kids, those who are under him, they don't know what he's on about. And he has no idea to explain to them.
Because he's a child, but he's talking like an adult.
Exactly. So he's talking with a voice of authority. Now, what this creates a sense of hatred between them. Right. And that's why if you look at siblings, most of the time you see the older one constantly having fight with the smaller ones. And sometimes this shows in the form of bullying, especially with boys, who the older boy, if he has siblings, especially if he has a sister. Most of the times, I don't want to say all the times, right. Always depending on the upbringing of the parent.
Naturally.
You see the child always, for example, the big boy, he's always trying to annoy his sister, bully his sister, do stuff like that. Because constantly the parent says to him, she's your sister, she's your younger sister, look after her, take care
your
of her, this and that, this
and
that. Right?
So, on.
So he's giving too much responsibility. It created that friction between him and his sister, for example, or his brother or the one that's younger than him. So our parents need to understand that you should not put this huge burden on a little child. So understanding his number and his sequence in birth is extremely important.
Right. And on that note, dear Sayyid, we will go on a quick break.
يَا مُقْضِيَ الْخَيْرَاتِ يَا مُقْضِيَ الْخَيْرَاتِ
Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam said, a child's right is to be kind to him when educating him, forgiving him, covering his mistakes, acting moderately towards him and helping him.
Welcome back to your listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing the sequence of the children, if we may, and how important it is for the parent to understand the positioning of the child in the wider family. Dear Sayyid, please enlighten us further.
So up to here we said that first we're going to deprive the child of his childhood if we place too much responsibility on him if he's the oldest. And we said it's going to create a friction and hatred between him and his siblings.
Right.
And at the same time, it will create a sense of, I would want to call like a dual values, right? For example, him as a child, it's okay for him to play, right, and have fun and do things.
Right.
But at the same time, he says, well, I have to be responsible. I can't do this because I am the older, because I am required to do this. So it creates that kind of two values going face to face or right. head to head within him. It's like, okay, should I play? Should I not? Should I do this? Should I not? Should should I leave my brothers do their thing and I go do my thing? Or right. I should keep an eye on them? So he was constantly battling these values within him. So why would you as a parent would want to put your child in such a position where he has to, I don't know, fight himself constantly
right.
between trying to meet your demands, please you, and pleasing himself? So he would have that clash happening constantly.
But they say, is this always a bad thing? Isn't it also maybe good to teach the children some responsibility as the eldest sibling, or is it always a bad thing that you shouldn't do?
When we talk about siblings, as inshallah, as we will see later on, we need to teach them to respect one another.
Right.
Respecting one another, that's the base, like that's the foundation of everything.
Right.
But not to appoint a fatherhead or a motherhead on a child by using another child. So what we have is no one can substitute the position of a parent when it comes to siblings. They need to have one authority, which is the mother and the father. They shouldn't be having two authorities, like the high authority and a mini authority. Listen to your brother, do what he says.
Right.
Okay. So you shifting everything from yourself to someone else, to the point that, for example, you don't want to deal with your kids, so you let the older right. one deal with them,
right?
Listens to him, which means he deals with you. Whatever he sees fit, he will deal with you.
Right.
So that child will not be able to understand, for example, the concept of a fair quality and justice.
No.
And dealing
no,
with
of course
it.
Not.
He wouldn't know these things. So
right.
you're shifting the blame to him and you're giving someone a position he shouldn't have in the first place.
Right.
Right? So when we say understanding his position in terms of birth and where he ranks, whether he's first, in the middle, or the last, is a quite important, quite vital, because that's like a very common mistake that a lot of parents make by making the older to be the second father or second mother, or to be the one responsible for his siblings. So it will cause him problem as a child and will cause problems for his siblings as well.
Dear Sayyid, I must unfortunately interrupt you because we are out of time. I thank you for your insightful knowledge. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Dear listeners, if you have any questions, comments, or just some feedback, please contact us at our email at englishradio@irrb.ir. You can also visit our website at parstoday.com. Alternatively, you can also find us on the various social media accounts we have, on, for example, Facebook or Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems, Allah the stone unturned, perfect with no flaws at all, by the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is a beautiful aphorism from the Holy Prophet's 11th infallible heir, Imam Hassan Askari, peace be upon him. Polytheism of certain people is more hidden than the creeping of ants on a black piece of cloth in a dark night.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
Modern technology has changed our lives in countless ways, with robots now preparing to lend a hand in operation rooms. Surgical robots are on display at the 4th China International Import Expo. One of the machines, dubbed Mesa X, gives assistance in spinal surgery. Employing the robot can lessen bleeding by 50% compared to open surgeries. Another one assists doctors to perform interventional surgeries.
Guide valves in the vessels can be controlled even less than 1 millimeter. Yeah. This is not cannot be achieved by the human hands. With the great, I think, market impact from this showcase, we successfully performed a first case PCI in Hainan Boao on March 13th.
The producers say surgical robots will soon operate in more hospitals around China. Therefore, training centers have been established to help surgeons learn how to operate the new generation of surgical robots.
A tigress belonging to the endangered Bengal species has given birth to 4 cubs at the Mexican Zoo, bringing joy and hope to wildlife enthusiasts. The 4 were born in the San Jorge Park in the city of Ciudad Juarez on October 10th. Nearly a month on, they are in good health. That is good news, because usually when multiple cubs are born, not all of them survive. Zoo officials have not yet determined the sex of the newborn cubs. That is because their mother lets out a roar when the vets are nearby. Bengal tigers are endangered for 2 reasons: poaching and the destruction of their natural habitat. here's what you can call killing two birds with one stone. Classic car lovers have gone on an exciting rally to see an erupting volcano. The event, organized by Beshbook Rallies, happened on a Saturday. Motorists taking part in the vintage rally had the unique opportunity to witness a volcano erupting ash and smoke. Most of the participants tried to get as close as they could to the volcano, but there were also those who chose to take other vehicles because they were afraid that their precious antique cars would be damaged. Norway's capital is once again the scene of a mesmerizing annual light festival. This year's Fjord Oslo Light Festival started on Friday, and it will run until Sunday. Numerous artists have had the opportunity to showcase their dazzling designs by lighting up important buildings in the Norwegian capital. This year's biggest installation is called The Abyss, which was inspired by animals living in the deep ocean.
Workers digging gas pipes in the Peruvian capital Lima have discovered a cemetery dating back to millennia. Archaeologists have recovered six bodies, including those of children. All of them were buried in a seated position. The site also yielded about 40 burial vessels. The findings are thought to belong to the culture known as White on Red, which settled on the central coast of Peru centuries ago during the pre-Hispanic era.
Often it does not take much to bring about positive social change. In Johannesburg, a group of painters are creating artworks on the trolleys of street recyclers. Reason? To encourage bystanders to look up and notice the work recyclers, locally known as reclaimers, do in the community.
I like my work to have meaning, so when I get to paint and become a part of a project like this, it's great for me, you know, because it's not every day we get to, like, do stuff like this, so, yeah.
Up until now, they were just filthy-looking jumbo bags with recyclable waste wheeling along the streets. But thanks to graffiti artists who are giving them a makeover with bold and bright designs to help identify and protect the recyclers, artists say their goal is to build a relationship between neighborhood residents and waste pickers. The reclaimers roam around the city day and night, with some motorists even considering them a risk as the trolleys are not always visible. There are some 6,000 reclaimers in Johannesburg who make a living collecting, sorting, recycling garbage. It's a messy job, but they do it anyway. A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats. But here we're witness to the birth of forests as well. And that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning. Carbon dioxide is one of the causes of global warming. But can we get rid of it to save our planet? A Swiss firm has come up with a novel idea to store CO2 underground and turn it into rocks. Company Climeworks has started operating the world's largest direct air carbon capture and storage plant called Okra in Iceland, located in Hershey. Okra is entirely run on renewable energy. It soaks carbon dioxide directly from the air and buries it as rocks deep underground to be mineralized. Usually, a natural process takes hundreds of thousands of years to turn the gas into basaltic rocks. But here, it takes up to 2 years for the CO2 to turn into white crystals.
Once the carbon dioxide is captured, it will be dissolved in water, and here we are at the injection site. The carbon dioxide dissolved in water will come through this pipe into the well, where it will be injected into the volcanic rock at a depth of between 800 meters and 2 kilometers.
The plant is said to be removing 4,000 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere each year. The amount is too little to save the planet from carbon emissions, as climate modeling suggests the world needs to eliminate several billion tons per year by 2050. Here we have to take into account the saying of the head of Orca that we have to learn to walk before we can run.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Legends never die. So 1 year after his death, Argentinians are remembering their hero on his birthday. And that's no one but their legendary football player, Diego Maradona. It would have been Maradona's 61st birthday this year. People all around the country, including in the capital, Buenos Aires, remembered their iconic figure in ceremonies over the weekend. In the city of Rosario, a giant monument was inaugurated in honor of the football star. You can see on your screens fans gathering there in celebration. They say Maradona's love still runs in the veins of Argentinians. Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, is riddled with waterways through which thousands of boats pass each day. Soon, the city may also be hosting self-driving vessels. Amsterdam's Institute for Advanced Metropolitan Solutions has devised an autonomous boat that can cross the city's busy canals without the help of a conductor. The watercraft, named a rowboat, is the size of a small car. The developers intend to use the boats for tasks ranging from transporting people to collecting trash. They think it can also be used for less conventional purposes, like preventing oil spills or forming a temporary bridge. Amsterdam's authorities are considering locations for a trash collection pilot project starting early next year. One of the disastrous effects of climate change has been the loss of glaciers worldwide. People around the world are trying new ways to tackle this problem. Now, a team of Chilean conservationists have come up with a creative project to protect glaciers and prevent water loss. The project is called Nilus. Winter rains are collected in cone-like structures called stupas. Experts from Chile are using a technology that was first developed in India to make these man-made glaciers. The water is then later used in the dry summer months. Chile has been experiencing a severe drought for years. Nilo's director, Enrique Gilona, says the project hopes to address water shortages in the country.
Here we are not creating new water. Water is something that is in nature already. It has a cycle, but clearly it has been affected by the effects of the great climate change, which we are facing. And we are looking for a solution that actually allows us to protect this water for a longer time in the mountain range, to be able to deliver it downstream toward the communities.
The goal is to store some 100 million liters of water across 50 stupas next year. This would be enough water to supply 100,000 people for 3 months. The first prototype was erected in Park Arenas, an area known for its glaciers surrounding the volcano, the highest parts of the mountain region. Researchers and activists have warned that glaciers in the Andes Mountains have been receding in recent years. They blame climate change for the loss of glaciers and water shortages. A photo on social media, an article, or a TV program can all draw attention to climate change. But to a German artist, nothing seems to be as effective as a journey using a giant water ball to make his voice heard. Arndt Drossel started his journey from his hometown Paderborn, West Germany, 3 months ago. The trip has so far taken him through more than 60 cities. He has completed the journey to the Scottish city of Glasgow, the venue of a major UN climate conference. Drossel says he aims to tell people how they can help tackle climate change, now a key global problem. The German artist believes everyone has a duty to solve the problem to help next generations have a good future.
My wife and we have 5 children, and we want to give them a good and happy future. And everybody knows, I think, about the problems our Earth has, and we will have the same problem in several cities and countries.
The German artist says he has encouraged people to make specific promises to tackle climate change. He says his own pledge was to offset all his personal carbon emissions by using the sphere for his journey. Drossel says he will continue his efforts until the promises reach a million. Meet Clarion, a homemade polar bear whose mission is to raise awareness of climate change in a 500-kilometer pilgrimage to Glasgow. The 3-meter polar bear is work of British furniture maker Bamber Hoss. The bear weighs 17 kilograms and is made of bamboo, willow, and tissue paper. Hoss started his journey with Clarion from his hometown of Bishop's Castle in England to Glasgow. They accomplished their spectacular journey ahead of the United Nations COP26 climate conference in the Scottish city. Hoss says Clarion is a symbol of melting Arctic ice caps due to global warming.
He's called Clarion. Clarion the bear is not a bear, he is a metaphor, he's a symbol. It is a very obvious symbol that a polar bear represents the Arctic, not the Antarctic, and that is where, you know, some of the problems are with melting ice caps, not all the problems because they're elsewhere as well.
Hoss says his aim is to encourage people to pay attention to climate change. Environmental activists from across the UK and elsewhere on the continent have also embarked on a long journey on foot to reach the UN climate change conference in Glasgow.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena.
بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear friends, salam, welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to join us and learn a little about jealousy in the view of Islam.
وانتشت روحي وصار الدمع يجري يا إلهي خذ بقلبي للرشاد.
Today, Tuesday, is the 3rd of the month of Rabiul Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Corresponding to the 18th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today, we choose chapter Yusuf to listen to, verse 5.
قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين.
He said, O my son, do not relate your vision to your brothers, or they will contrive against you a plan. Indeed, Satan, to man, is a manifest enemy.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Prophet Jesus, Hazrat Yusuf, peace be upon him, told his father his dream away from the presence of his brothers. The dream foretold that his son's prestige and position would be so elevated that the stars in the sky, the sun and the moon will bow to kiss his threshold. He will be so exalted in rank and position that celestial beings will be subservient to him. It was a fantastic, fabulous, and interesting dream. Therefore, with a mixed feeling of anxiety and happiness, he responded his son not to tell his brothers about his dream, for they would scheme dangerous stratagem against him.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to this program that is about jealousy in the view of Islam. The blameworthy type of envy is an unrestricted dislike of the blessings bestowed upon the envied. Therefore, when one despises something, he is hurt and grieved by its very existence, and this becomes a sickness in his heart. To the extent that he derives pleasure from the removal of the blessings from the envied, even if this does not result in any benefit to him except having the pain that was in his soul removed. This pain is not removed except as a result of the envier continuously monitoring the envied so that he would find relief when the blessing is removed. But it can become more severe, as is the case of the one who is suffering from a physical sickness in that blessing, or one similar to it may return to the envied. The Prophet of Islam said, I swear by the one in whose hands is my soul, none of you will believe until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. One of the abominable characteristics, I mean moral characteristics, is jealousy. So we find that in this case, some sort of equilibrium can be achieved, okay? When someone finds out his own capabilities, assets, or other abilities in contrast to those available elsewhere with other people. At times, we have received this news, I mean, in various forms, that someone who wasn't morally that much recipient of or worthy of being recipient of certain graces, however, when a kind of grace has gone to him, this person has turned away from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's related that, I mean, it's indicated in historical sources, in books on early Islamic history, that one of those people was always with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went to the Prophet and asked for some financial help in order for his life to become better and better. Well, at first the Prophet didn't answer him positively, but later on, when he insisted, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him some small financial help. And after that, this person, with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the financial help of the Prophet Muhammad, this person little by little became a prominent person, I mean financially speaking. And then as this person was becoming little by little gradually a prominent person, he became less and less attendant to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he came to the mosque in order to pray with the Prophet Muhammad quite less occasionally than before. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam admonished him and alerted him that, I mean, he wasn't, I mean, that much capable of retaining that grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam demanded the money back, I mean, wanted the money he had given this person back, again, little by little, because his financial situation was returning to the former state, this person started coming to the mosque more and more, and became more and more attendant to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't know the reality. Perhaps if any extra help comes to us, and at that moment we might prove very much a dissident to the wills of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we may become very much oblivious of performing our religious tasks and religious obligations.
I've been waiting, I've been hurting, 'cause I've been falling, I need your help. My heart is breaking, so tired of crying, Lord, I'm calling, I need your help. Astaghfirullah.
Dear brothers and sisters, dear listeners, I'm speaking about envy. It's good to look at the steps to overcoming envy too. Today's step is recognizing that the success of others does not take away from your own. Be happy for the success and happiness of others, and remind yourself it does not take anything away from you. You create your own path, and you are responsible for your successes and failures. There is more than enough to go around. You do not need to trample over others to get what you deserve. Other step to overcoming envy is learning from the envied. Don't hate, appreciate, and emulate. Learn from those you envy. You do not need to have all that they have, but maybe you can learn from them. If you envy a friend for their success or happiness, you can ask them their secret. This can deepen your friendship rather than drive the wedge of resentment and envy further. You can emulate some of the positive traits and apply them to your life. Now, effects, harmful effects of jealousy. What are they? Jealousy may distract emotion. Jealousy is one of the things that drove Satan away from Allah. It's a destructive emotion. Jealousy has been recognized as a destructive emotion and one that should be kept under control or eliminated altogether. Nowadays, motivational and life coaches teach their students that jealousy can lead you away from your chosen path. We Muslims understand because we are faced with situations and circumstances that seem designed to turn us away from Allah and His commandments. Sometimes it is a battle we must do against Satan, but at other times it is our own ego that causes us to be jealous and thus forget our place in the world.
A hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Allahumma salli alayhi. Rasulullah says, Rufi'a an ummati tis'a. Nine things have been lifted from my ummah. They're not going to be held accountable for these. One of them is the jealousy that is not acted upon. If you are able to control yourself, if you are able to control your emotions, control your tongue, control your hands, control your desires, and don't reveal that jealousy. But it's very difficult. When someone has a feeling of jealousy, it comes out. You could tell through their tongue, through their actions, through anything that they say or they do. It's very easy. Because what the heart and the body, it reflects one another. The body and whatever you do with your actions, it reflects what's in your heart. So the one who is able to not reveal that feeling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold that person accountable. Now, what's halal? Halal is to wish to have that blessing that the other person has. If you see your brother, he has something. If you see he has something. If you see someone that has something and you say, I wish to have that as well, there's nothing wrong with that. It becomes haram. Jealousy is when you say, I don't want that person to have that. I wish that that person loses what they have. I wish that that person crashes their car. I wish that that person's house, something happens to it. That is jealousy. But to say, I wish to have a house just like this person, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's called ghibta. Ghibta, it's not haram. And the hadith says, Al-Mu'min, Imam Sadiq, he says, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنْ يَغْبِطْ وَلَا يَحْسَدْ. The mu'min, he has the ghibta. He wishes to have what other people have. But he does not say, I wish that they lose what they have. He does not wish harm for other people.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. This episode of today's special. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.